The recession claims another aviation show. The DOT's new stranding statistics prove useless. And a Jet Airways pilot is charged with being drunk in the cockpit. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, December 24th, 2008. On the heels of NBAA's announcement that it's scaling back its March light business aircraft show in San Diego, the group announced yesterday that the Asian Business Aviation Association's February show will be canceled outright. The Asian Business Aviation Conference and Exhibition, or ABACE, was scheduled for February 11th and 12th in Hong Kong. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin commented, quote, ABACE requires a huge commitment of resources from our member companies, from exhibitors, and from NBAA. And at a time when our economy is moving into its second year of a recession, NBAA is not in a position to provide ABACE with the attention and resources required to make the show the success it needs to be for our attendees and exhibitors. We regret the circumstances that have led to this year's cancellation, but we look forward to working through the challenges of today and resuming the show in future years, unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board has a team in Denver investigating the Saturday wreck of a Continental 737 on takeoff. The plane ran off the runway and caught fire. While a final report on probable cause is likely at least a year away, board member and team supervisor Robert Sumwalt says it appears possible to rule out faulty brakes or tires as the cause. Quote, there's no indication from the physical examination on the scene of brake problems at this time. No leaks, no locked brakes, unquote. Sumwalt added that tire marks visible on the runway and the ground show the four main gear tires were inflated prior to the takeoff accident, according to CNN. The runway surface was dry and there's no sign of debris on the runway at the time of the accident. Sumwalt adds that the injured pilot, an 11-year Continental veteran, is not physically able to be interviewed yet. The flight's first officer has told investigators the initial takeoff roll was normal until he noticed a deviation from the center line of the runway and a sudden left turn. The investigation continues. FlyersRights.org, formerly known as the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights, claims that the Department of Transportation's recently announced plan to start tracking tarmac strandings is already falling victim to inaccurate reporting by airlines and a lack of DOT follow-through. In the absence of a federal passenger's bill of rights, the group hoped the new statistics were at least a step in the right direction. But Coalition founder Kate Hanai observes, quote, what has been provided so far amounts to little more than random numbers. It totally misleads the flying public, unquote. Among the highly questionable numbers, Hanai points to 92 flights reported by the airlines to have sat for only 10 minutes or less on the tarmac after being diverted. She notes with sarcasm, quote, apparently some airlines have been practicing touch-and-goes with commercial jets filled with passengers, unquote. She adds that DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics has admitted errors in the first report covering October, but says there's no word on what will be done to correct the problem. A 62-year-old airline pilot and ex-U.S. Marine appears about to lose his career over a few drinks with younger coworkers. The London Sun cites other newspaper reports in relating the arrest of Michael Haar, who was reportedly in the cockpit of a Jet Airways Boeing 777, preparing for a Sunday morning flight from London Heathrow to Mumbai, India, when police, responding to a tip from airport security, arrested and removed him from the plane. An airport source told the paper, quote, security were immediately suspicious about him and deemed that he wasn't fit to fly. He was arrested and now faces losing his job. He is only a couple of years away from retirement and has blown everything, unquote. The source added Haar had been partying with fellow crew members Saturday night, possibly violating the hard 8-hour minimum requirement between last drink and start of duty. London Metro Police added that a breath test showed Haar's blood alcohol content to be above the UK's legal limit. Haar is free on bail pending a later court date. Southwest Airlines applied to the DOT this week for international route authority to operate flights between the U.S. and Canada. The application is required by law before Southwest can fully implement its previously announced codeshare agreement with Canada's WestJet. The company says it expects approval shortly. The flights would start in the second half of 2009. The certificate would also allow Southwest to operate flights to Canada with its own planes, but the airline says it has no plans to do so at this time. Coming up next, V-Australia announces its new strike-delayed launch date. A CRJ may have fallen victim to a maintenance oversight. And NASA says worsening storms are caused by global warming. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 24th. I'm Paul Platt. Pratt & Whitney reports its PW4000 Advantage 70 engine has received FAA certification under FAR 33, allowing entry into service on new Airbus A330s by the middle of next year. Advantage 70 technology claims a 2% thrust increase, a 1% reduction in fuel consumption, increased durability, and reduced maintenance costs. The version used on the A330 is rated at 70,000 pounds of thrust. Pratt & Whitney has over 16,000 aircraft engines installed with hundreds of airlines around the world. V-Australia has set a new target date of February 27th for launch of its inaugural Trans-Pacific flight from Sydney to Los Angeles. The airline's original start date of December 15th got pushed back by the machinist strike at Boeing, which delayed delivery of the airline's 777-300 extended-range jets. In a ceremony now set for February 6th in Seattle, the first plane will officially be presented to a group of 60 executives of Virgin Blue Group and V-Australia. The plane will first be fitted with custom cabin features in Victorville, California. V-Australia also confirmed it will begin direct Los Angeles to Brisbane service 3 times a week on April 8, 2009. Scott Swift, the airline's executive general manager, explains what will make V different. Quote, "From the outset, we committed to launching an airline that offered an outstanding and innovative three-class option across the Pacific. We are also committed to offering value for money, and there are plenty of great fares up for grabs for travelers from the U.S. wanting to visit V-Australia's homeland," unquote. The airline is still hiring to fill positions on its support team at Los Angeles International Airport. In a preliminary report, the NTSB says a Bombardier CRJ-200 that landed with its left main gear up at Philadelphia International Airport December 14th had just been serviced by maintenance workers who may have failed to properly attach the main gear uplock assembly. Quote, "Post-incident inspection of the aircraft revealed that the upper attachment bolt for the left main landing gear uplock assembly, which is designed to be attached to both the uplock mechanism and the structure, was attached to the airplane structure only," unquote. As ANN reported, the Air Wisconsin jet was on a repositioning flight after being serviced in Norfolk, Virginia. It was originally scheduled to depart as a U.S. Airways Express revenue flight that Sunday morning, but was delayed for over 3 hours on the ground and passengers transferred to other flights. The accident happened that afternoon. Fortunately, only two pilots and a flight attendant were on board the 50-seat jet at the time, and none were injured. The NTSB report does not explicitly say whether the departure delay was related to the maintenance work on the jet's landing gear. If you've been camping in an airport for 3 days due to weather delays, you finally have something to blame. NASA scientists now say the frequency of extremely high clouds in Earth's tropics, the type of clouds associated with severe storms and rainfall, is increasing as the result of global warming. In a presentation Friday to the fall meeting of the American Geophysical Union in San Francisco, senior research scientist Harmut Aumann of NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena outlined the results of a study based on 5 years of data from the Atmospheric Infrared Sounder instrument on NASA's Aqua spacecraft. Aumann said the results of his study, published recently in Geophysical Research Letters, are consistent with another NASA-funded study by Frank Wentz and his colleagues in 2005. That study found an increase in the global rain rate of 1.5% per decade over 18 years, about 5 times higher than estimated by climate models used in the 2007 report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Still ahead, Careers in Aviation names a scholarship winner. Southwest prepares for glass panel upgrades of its classic 737s. And the 4Flight Mobile Flight Planner gets a big upgrade. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 24th. I'm Paul Platt. Careers in Aviation tells ANN its 2008 Flight Line Group Scholarship winner is Saul Meza from Chicago, Illinois. The $2,500 scholarship was open to students expressing a financial need and aspiring to flight training or education in the pursuit of an aviation career. Meza will graduate in May 2009 with a B.S. in Aeronautical Science from Embry-Riddle and plans to apply his scholarship toward flight time and completing his degree. He says he caught the flying bug as a participant in his high school Navy Junior ROTC. Quote, "Growing up in an inner city neighborhood can give one a false sense of hopelessness. But, like my parents, I vowed to seize every opportunity to reach my dream of receiving my degree, becoming a flight instructor, and eventually becoming a corporate pilot. Most kids like me don't believe that attending college or university is available to them." Unquote. C. Daniel Langston, Flight Line Group President, said deciding among the 70 applicants was difficult. Quote, "We congratulate all applicants on their dedication and hard work and encourage them to continue the pursuit of their dreams." Unquote. Southwest Airlines has announced its next step in upgrading its classic 737s with glass panels, providing uniformity with its newer 737s and allowing its older planes to operate in the same tighter GPS-defined airspace corridors as its new ones. Boeing has been selected by Southwest as the lead integrator, bringing together hardware from GE Aviation, Honeywell, and Rockwell Collins, and coordinating software, flight testing, and certification. Twin 15.4-inch General Electric SDS-6000 glass displays will enable required navigation performance, helping reduce fuel consumption, enhancing safety and situational awareness, and minimizing aircraft emissions and noise. In a nod to flexibility, the glass panel cockpit in 700 series 737s can be configured to emulate the steam gauges seen in older 300 series cockpits, allowing both types to be flown by Southwest pilots under a common type rating. New applications for Apple's popular iPhone have ranged from serious tools to frivolous decorations, but the latest version of 4Flight Mobile Flight Planner is being hailed as one of the good ones. It's available now on the Apple App Store. 4Flight 2.1 includes airport data for about 27,000 landing facilities stored on disk. A download manager keeps the database up to date, and completely redesigned airport information pages offer more detail, including visual runway orientation. A greatly improved flight plan filing system includes next and previous buttons on the form, flight plan copy and delete, a flight plan fix feature for those who fail to file for any reason, detailed email confirmations, and a filed confirmation code. The upgrade also includes weather imagery, including winds aloft. 4Flight 2.1 is priced at $74.99. And finally, Santa Claus is one of the most enduring symbols of the holiday season. The fact that he continues to be so popular is especially surprising given the widespread abuse of his name and image by marketers. As if it wasn't bad enough that he's impersonated at thousands of shopping malls and hundreds of car dealer lots every year, no less than outgoing U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters last week attempted to use an announcement of special Santa lanes in U.S. airspace to salvage some credibility for anti-congestion measures the airlines say are at best symbolic. Now comes NASA, deflecting criticism of its troubled Constellation manned space program by publicly inviting Santa to tour the Kennedy Space Center while he's out on Christmas Eve and see the progress being made on the Ares 1 rocket. NASA's outreach specifically invites St. Nick to Launch Pad 39B, where a giant crane is hoisting components of what will one day be the lightning protection system for Ares launches. The first launch is scheduled for July of next year, assuming NASA's strategy to deal with excessive vibration of the rocket can be implemented successfully. NASA's PR department goes so far as to discuss future visits by the jolly old elf to human colonies in space. Quote, word has it Santa's elves began constructing a similar launch pad and lightning protection system at the North Pole last year in preparation for Santa's sojourns to the stars, unquote. We can't be too annoyed with NASA for using Santa the same way screaming car dealers do. After all, the Obama administration will be taking over in a few days, giving NASA Administrator Michael Griffin one more thing in common with the car dealers. A year-end blowout. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, something completely different. I'll talk to the world's oldest active pilot about Christmas, politics, the economy, and the business of giving. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. This long-form Aero briefing will be on holiday hiatus for a few days, but we'll bring you a new one if news warrants. We'll be back on our regular schedule again starting Monday, January 5th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.